Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another Nacho Tuesday. And today I have Naylan here with Story Lane. And without further ado, Naylan, we'd love if you would introduce your product and what your guys' company does over there.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me here, Andy, today. And I'm Nalin, co-founder, CEO of Story Lane. Story Lane is a product demo platform that's used by sales teams and marketing teams today to showcase what your product is all about to your buyers. And we started close to 2.5 years now. Went through YC in 2021, and it's been a fantastic growth so far in the last 2.5 years for us.
Yeah, definitely can't understate the importance of onboarding enough. We're doing a lot of work around that, and actually, we're customers of StoryLane too, so I definitely highly recommend that product. I guess, how did you get to this point in your career? What made you so passionate about helping companies with their onboarding journey for their customers?
For sure. So I think, kind of what got us to StoryLane is this is my I've been in startups for the last a decade or so. So personally, myself, very much a tech person, started with a background in machine learning, and that's how I started my career itself. And spent some time in Amazon, built AR glasses for 5-6 years, very early. This is 2010. After that, my co-founder and I, we started a company called an early education market. And then so when we built that company out as a co-founders, we were selling constantly. And one of the things after we exited the company, we felt like, what's next? And one of the pain points that we went through, and that was just before the COVID, is how do we, adapt to the digital bias? Who we were selling to personas, they were always busy, and we had to share some things always. So we felt like there's got to be a better way to sell, and is this market and the SaaS sales is evolving in a competitive market. That's basically what led to StoryLane. We initially started out primarily around from a marketing perspective, and then we kind of more and more broadened it towards sales and customer success and onboarding teams as well. The crux of it is buyers really want to see your product. And today's age of buyers don't want to just talk to sales. Very smart people. They do research themselves before they even start engaging with a salesperson. One of the most important steps in this entire research for a buyer we have discovered is seeing your product. And they go to communities, they go to review sites, but they don't get to see the product. And we felt like there was a gap there. And that's basically what resulted in StoryLane. We started building it out and kind of launched it as well. And a lot of inspiration comes from what you built before, right? And that's how it started.
Yeah, it's a journey, right? I always tell people that entrepreneurship is really a career. It's not something, it's difficult to just get into overnight, but the previous experiences and journeys that you've been on as an entrepreneur building products in the past, you've been really close to the problem that you're addressing in the next company that you're launching. So, unlike a lot of other people that might just, try to build the latest AI tool because it's a cool trend, you guys, really understood the problem because you've kind of lived it. So really, you're the first customer for your own product that you're building the next solution for, and realize that there's obviously a lot more people out there that need that as well too. And I've seen that a lot too. There's a lot of companies that just assume that their product is so simple, or people should just get it when they come into the platform. But to your point, I think a lot of people, they want to take a peek under the hood first before they want to actually buy the software and spend money. Or, even more importantly, time is money and valuable for them as well. A lot of people don't want to just, get on the phone with a salesperson because they feel like that's 30 minutes of their time. They're going to be, have to tell somebody a yes or no and, avoid the sale prospect potentially. So, let them take a peek, go through an interactive journey, really see if that product's going to answer their, solve their problem for them. And, that's kind of how you get them to the next point, right?
100%. Yeah. And, just to add to that, it helps in two parts, right? So I think you touched upon it, buyers, it saves their time when they get to know what it is. And sellers also, right? They know they're getting a qualified people they're talking to, not just getting on a discovery calls. So those are of the past, in my opinion, right? It's more the sales have to be more a product specialist jumping in straight and talking about what the value it can provide, rather than qualifying people. And that's gone of those days. And I feel these things are auto-qualified because the buyers are getting more and more educated and smarter about what they're looking for today.
Totally. Yeah. So I guess, how have you seen software sales evolve over the last few years? So I think what you're touching on, and which I totally agree with, by the way, is that self-service is becoming a lot more relevant. It's been around, but I think these days, a lot of people kind of want to figure out and get their questions answered on their own before they have to, go through that whole sales cycle. What are your thoughts on that?
For sure. Software, I mean, like it's changed quite a lot, right? In the last decade, right? I mean, if you look at it in the last few years itself, like it's dramatic. And then after the COVID, there's more of digital selling and digital buying that's a lot more accelerated and people got used to it. So most importantly, what you would say is like, those discovery calls, what I was just talking about, right? Figuring out on the outbound is like, there's a lot of research on how outbound is dying. So buyers today have like so many options quickly, right? So they look at any market, anything that you're doing, there are like five other people building similar things and similar products, a lot of options out there. So buyers are well-educated, very smart about it. I mean, even before they talk to a sales, like I call them as a product specialist in some ways, the sales AEs are. So before they want to talk to someone, they have done the research around it. They've gone to the website, they've seen your product, they've educated themselves a little bit about it, learned a lot about your product from your documentations, community sites, maybe in the review sites, looked at the marketplace sites as well. So they're well-educated, they got recommendations from someone. This has not been like that like a few years back, right? So you will see this trend going upward quite a lot. So when buyers come very well educated, the buying software sales has to change a little bit, right? Firstly, you have to upfront provide as much data points about your product to your buyers, right? Your marketing website is really your biggest salesperson, right? People come to your website, they need to get educated. Like that's where it starts from. Then when you talk to a salesperson as well, they are not like traditional old school ways where you talk, qualify them, understand whether you fit in, right? Now they really want to talk to specialists, right? When your AEs have to be a more of a specialist. And I feel like more and more AEs will have their own assistants and agents to help them in these kind of calls and conversations as well. That's how I see it moving forward as well. And it's been changing. The paradigm has been shifting over the last few years completely. So you need to be, the sales has to adapt to more like fundamentally like a smarter and educated buyers today in the market.
Yep. And you have to really kind of get ahead of it too and really understand what your customers' needs are, why they're coming to you, you know, what their problems are, and address those, you know, openly on your website, right? So I think a lot of marketers sometimes don't do a very good job of maybe, you know, addressing maybe some of the potential downsides of their product, even like we don't serve these types of people. We serve this specific type of person for this specific type of problem. If you have unanswered questions that aren't obvious on your website, you know, that could actually be a turnoff for people as well too. If there's, you know, this big elephant in the room, so they can't figure it out yet. They're just going to say, I don't want to really go down this path and spend too much effort. I didn't get my main answers that I'm looking for.
100%. I think we're still talking still like top of the funnel, right? People like before they want to engage with you. Now that's changing dramatically, right? Like we just talked about, like once they engage with you, now you need to be like very engaging with them in their POCs, giving them as much information as possible, supporting them. And then like driving that conversation and closing that account is again, that's another shift that you're seeing, right? Top of the funnel, you're seeing the sales process changing while in the process that's changing, and post sales also this changing in the onboarding and everything, right? Yeah. So this whole journey is changing a lot, especially because when somebody's coming well-educated in the top, then you need to make sure you're not taking them back, but you're pushing them forward always in your product. So
And what tips do you offer for people there for that whole onboarding cycle, I guess? So obviously, you know, having the right marketing messaging, positioning on your website, and then what would be the next step, I guess, from there? Once somebody shows interest, how would you kind of walk them through that software buying process today? If this was like an ideal customer for a SaaS product?
I think there is a lot of blue ocean opportunity where people just don't show the product. If you go to so many websites today, and I think if there's one tip I would recommend the marketers or to create more demand today in this market is simple. Buyers are way smarter than what you're thinking are. So they are doing a lot of research. There's a research study by Gartner, which talks about like in 70% of the buyers, even before they come to your website, talk to you, they've already done the research. So the biggest thing that you can do is take 10 minutes out of your time. You can actually to pitch in Sterling is like, go try out and build an interactive demo and put it on your website. The biggest tip I would offer is like, show your product, right? Yeah. And show your product very early, show your product in nurturing them in campaigns, show your product in upselling them. And I think they don't want to be treated like a black box anymore. So that's my number one. And we're seeing a lot of great results through that as well with our customers today.
Yeah, that's ties back to the whole show, not tell. You know, in a such a fast-paced world too, you got to just show what you have and just get to the point. Because a lot of people don't want to read and do, you know, too much digging like we mentioned earlier. I think there's this other aspect too where a lot of a lot of founders or maybe, you know, product owners might be afraid of, you know, their competitors taking a look at their product, taking a look under the hood. But let's be honest, like anybody could sign up for your website these days and go take a peek if they want. But, you know, it's more just assume that's going to happen. Just put it out there and show people, you know, what you got under the hood there. Like, what are they going to get if they decide to, you know, invest their time to actually go through to create an account and go in and check out your platform in further detail?
100%. Exactly. So those are like, I think we're seeing that slowly, like that kind of friction slowing down. We don't run across. I mean, it used to be a couple of years back, hey, I don't want to show my product because it's my secret sauce, right?
Yep.
Those are things that are going to change, right? I mean, like if that is a secret sauce, you're going to lose something, right? Which is like buyers like not going to come in and engage with you. So I think companies are realizing that.
Yep. I agree. What else do you recommend for more demand generation, maybe on your website? Like any, I'm a big fan of like having features that might, you know, get some initial engagement with people, even if it's subtle, you know, there's not necessarily a way to monetize it, but it just gets people trying your product out. What are your thoughts on, you know, maybe some of those product-led growth initiatives?
So, yes. So if you're we have companies like public, like Palo Alto Networks, internal one, these are some of our customers. So they are like pretty complicated security companies, right? So when companies like that are taking a leap forward and thinking about like, how do I show my product? These are public companies. I want to put the product in front of people. Now that's like a great sign for you. Like anybody looking at as a company, hey, if these companies, such a complex product, they were thinking about being PLG and start thinking of innovating of like, let's put interactive demos, guided demos and educate your buyers. That's like the biggest tip I would say. Like when companies like public companies are doing that, I see no reason for why other companies shouldn't be doing it. If your product is simple, you should show it. And the other thing is if your product is like, hey, I can build out a PLG mode. What it means is like StoreLane is a PLG product. People can sign up and try it. If your product is a PLG mode, you should absolutely do a PLG version as well, along with interactive demos. So interactive demos are great to show, like even before somebody signs up, they want to know what it is they're signing up and you show them the value. And then at the same time, give a call to action for them to sign up rather than like talk to somebody, right? Because you already have a PLG mode, let them sign up and try it out. But you want to, you know, reduce the noise of people who are signing up. So show them, they get educated, then let them sign up. Yeah. If you're non-PLG, 100%, right? So show those different types of tours and websites. And I would recommend to create demand, just don't have it in one page, like every feature page, every solutions page. How do you solve those through demos? You can put them. Put them in your blogs specifically, right? When you have like blogs, SEO content going out, you want to drive more engagement even in the blogs, right? A lot of AI-generated content goes in the blogs. And how do you drive engagement in the blogs if it's not AI-generated content? So put those demos there. So we see a lot of engagement increase in blogs. So there are a lot of ways you'll use these things. And that's another ways in which you can create a demand for your product. At the end of the day, buyers are there to look at your product, put them in different places.
Yeah, and FAQs as well. Just make it as easily accessible as possible for people. Might as well not hide it. Show it, don't tell. Show what you offer. What are your thoughts on like more complex products, right? So a lot of people might be, you know, they might be apt to do one full tutorial interactive demo, if you will. Whereas, you know, it might be better, would you say, if you did like smaller interactive demos for specific features within your platform?
That's correct. So what I would recommend is, and a great question on that, right? So what we are seeing is like, you know, people don't want like one big, like interactive demos. Even we recommend like breaking it down into bite-sized portions, right? What's like, let them pick what they want to learn about them. So rather than like a big lengthy interactive demos or product demos for that. So we are seeing that a lot. So people build out their own landing pages, have more like let the user choose what they want to learn about by asking those questions. And that we are seeing a lot more happening, like kind of like, hey, my dedicated resource page of demos. So people can come and choose what they want, right? Yeah. So definitely I would recommend that because like it's very hard to consume the entire thing and allow the user to make those decisions themselves. Again, being more flexible there is important there.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And I think kind of a common thing that's coming up in this conversation here is, you know, allowing people to kind of try before they buy, like take off a small nibbles, if you will. So like, you know, maybe try and interact the demo for a specific feature, learn about, you know, the specific offerings that you have, and then, you know, maybe get them engaged with their product with a, you know, a simple free trial, like something they can try on the website itself, so they could see how your product works before going through the whole signup process. Would you kind of see that, say that's kind of the future where you want to get people in for demand generation, get them to try your product, try little bits and pieces, get a little bit of buy-in from them one step at a time until they're ready for that point to actually talk to sales and take it to the next step?
100%. That's probably what it'll look like more and more. So a lot of companies adopting that, as I said, like a couple of public companies who have been like around for 20 years are shifting that. So that's happening 100%. And with irrespective of your product being very complex or simple, you know, buyers want to see it. And that's probably what is happening a lot more. And, you know, in terms of demand, right? So people see this a lot more on LinkedIn posts. They want to put it up. They want to put it on Google Ads landing pages. So people click through it, but they still want to know where it is, right? So there's a lot of creative ways in which you can insert these demos in different forms, right? Wherever you are buyer is, and you want to reach them with your product. And that's basically what is the best way to create demand.
What are your thoughts on like allowing people into the platform to take a peek at? Do you guys have any policies around like Gmails versus requiring work addresses? Do you feel like, do you ever see instances where people might want to sign up with a personal account to take a peek around before they want to associate their business with it and go into the sales funnel, or what have you seen there?
So again, if you're selling to businesses, I mean, I totally understand, because like it really depends on the demand that you're creating. So you might have like a lot of signups and noise that could create with that. So you see, like typically when you have a signup, you have a plethora of tools to associate with a business. What's the size of the company and where they are and where they are in the journey? You get all those insights. So you lose those insights if you have your personal emails in the signup, right? Yeah. So that is the big drawback out of that. But if you want to tap into those kind of insights, you would, right? So I would recommend, because you're selling to a business, and it's totally fine if somebody is serious, they have to keep the business right to go with that. So I highly recommend that, because you can tap into additional tools. Like there are many tools out there which just based on the email can pull up information like what the business is and how many people are there and what the ARR of the company is. So you want to tap into those. That's basically what a salesperson today needs to use those insights to have those kind of conversations, right? So I would recommend that. Yeah,
it's a much better starting point to go into the conversation and have some initial idea of what the company's needs are, how big they are, and how your product can best, you know, align with that. What else do you see that people do wrong with the software sales cycle today? Any other red flags or things you want to call out that people can improve upon?
I think one thing I would recommend is like goes back to what, I mean, like kind of in trend of what we're talking. In software sales cycle, what I see is like the biggest mistake people make today is they think that the buyer is naive, right? So he doesn't know much about it. Like, and I've seen this again and again, like where they think like, hey, they came to us and we are the only people in the market and, you know, they like what we saw and this deal will be done, right? Yeah. So that's like repeatedly happens quite a lot, because like being naive, like as a salesperson, right? So that's like, you can get carried away. Like buyers are way smarter than what you're thinking. Like if you're thinking already they're smart, they're way smarter. Let's keep that in mind, right? That is one big tip, I would say, mistake people make. And you know, to overcome that, like you need to be aware one step ahead of your buyer always, right? And that includes like in the conversations you're having, maybe the emails you're sending to them, or like how you are engaging with what they are doing in social platforms or on their with their company handles and stuff, right? So you need to be one step ahead. So to be like ahead of your buyer. So always you're playing, you know, catch up game. And that is one thing that I've seen happens a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point too. You have to get into this position where you're more proactive, not reactive. You really have to anticipate the buyer, like who the buyer is, what their needs are. And like to your point, assume that they're probably going to come with more information than you think they will, but assume that they don't, right? So that's where these demos and, you know, putting the best foot forward with your content marketing, ensuring that people have the resources available to simply get the answers that they want without jumping through a bunch of hoops, definitely helps with that entire process.
Yeah, 100%.
So I guess back to interactive demos. So interactive demos, like we mentioned, are very important for the onboarding process. Breaking everything down into, you know, maybe feature by feature, so, you know, people can get that bite-sized information if they will. Where do you see interactive demos go after that, as part of the onboarding process, maybe later in the journey?
So we use them, like I'll tell you a little bit like how we use it as well, right? So we use it in our documentation pages, knowledge bases, and everywhere, like to learn about like Sorrelin. People go in, instead of being very textual, so people can pull up information. There are demos in our, not just on our website, but on our knowledge base documentation websites as well. So it's helpful from a support perspective, onboarding, they want to learn something. It's a great way to self-learn. The second, I think the big use case that you will see is like, if you want to, you know, show new features or upsell, right? So show new features, you as a every company, every product, you're constantly evolving, you're shipping things, right? So there are a lot of new things coming out. Now, how do you educate your existing customers about what's coming out, right? An opportunity for them to either adopt this feature or even upsell them, right? So that's the easiest way for you to do that is like through interactive demos, the product demos, so that you can show them what this feature is about. Maybe things that have not yet released as well, right? Maybe it's still in your like a prototype Figma, right? And you want to get some user studies as well. So we see a lot on like product upsells, product feedback as well. And of course, apart from support and onboarding, which you can use a knowledge base as well to help them like use your product better. So both those things are being used by Sorrelin ourselves. And we see a lot of our customers like moving from like marketing, hey, how do I use in additional teams? And like these are few use cases that they start seeing it quite a lot. Yeah.
And what are your thoughts? So, you know, you mentioned the upsell as well, which is a critical point too. So, you know, maybe taking people from the free version of the product or even a paid version and upgrading them to a larger version of that product. What kind of tips do you offer for identifying those signals for when a buyer is ready to be upsold, and how do you approach them with that offer?
So I'll tell you one good tip, right, that works even for us, right? So like we nurture our customers. We have a PLG model. People sign up and then a free account, they sign up, build a demo. Now, how do you bring them into like a next version and from one plan to the next plan? We send these, we are on intercom. We send these product nudges and emails like on a weekly basis because we ship everything. So a simple signal could be like as simple as that, right? Hey, you sent an email to all the free users and then saying that certain features that they haven't used it, right, through intercom. We put a demo on those also, right? Here's a quick GIF and then they click on it to see what they're missing out. Anybody clicks on it, anybody interacts on it, we get notified right away. Okay, what does it mean? It means like they are ready for the next plan. There is an interest that they have shown by spending a few minutes. And the next extra bonus point is if they have forwarded this email to a few more people in the team and multiple people from the same account viewed it. So those are easy signals to quickly reach out to them and then like open up additional features and do those upsell motions as well. So you don't have to overthink these things. Like it becomes like so simple. Take one simple cue and run with it and see what's driving. And a lot of times, you know, you have like signals of company sizes and everything. Strategically, you can do it. Like we found this to be like easy and biggest driver for us, right? Sending an email, people clicking on these demos because they are on our platform for demos. And the moment they engage with us, like we just kind of use our own product for driving those upsells.
Yeah. And I think also like the way the products, the pricing structure is set too, right? Yeah. So I think you guys have done a really good job with, you know, giving people relevant features that are very helpful in some of the lower tier pricing structures. But then, you know, there's that incentive for the next level up where you have some really enticing features, but they could live without them, right? But for the right type of customer, they're willing to pay more for that. And I think you guys have done a really good job with your whole pricing structure there. I wanted to make a note of that, but other companies can think in terms of that too, right? So if you're using a PLG motion, get people in to try your product, realize some sort of value, time to value is very short. They get the value they're looking for and they realize that they want more. Now they've invested into your product more and they're ready for that upsell to actually pay for what they built. I think another thing you guys do really well too with your product, and other companies can learn from this as well, is the investment into building out these demos. So once people could really visualize the demo and what it can do for them and their business, I think, you know, it's a lot easier for people to want to pay for something that they've already spent time and effort to build. Right. So that becomes a really good triggering point right there too.
For sure. Yep. Exactly.
I guess, can you give us any other strategic sales tips that SaaS leaders should know about if they're looking to grow their sales this year?
Strategic sales tips. I think I just gave a small tip about upsell. So do those demos. But I think one thing I learned, I would say in the beginning of this quarter is like, I mean, it's there. It prioritizes, let me put it this way. Like we knew that. So one is like, when a deal comes through, right, where you're talking, a salesperson is engaging, we have the salesperson, you know, go by himself and try to close this deal. One thing that is people have to prioritize is these buyers, since there is so much options out there in the market in general for any software, and they need to be welcomed, not just during onboarding, but even when they start engaging with your sales team. What I mean by that is, like, you need to multi-thread in your you know, communications with them or in your conversations with them, right? So maybe an AE having a conversation and a CEO or a founder or a VP sales, whoever is in their organization, also should connect with them on the LinkedIn, nudge them around this. I had a case where, like, we were buying a software, and that's when it hit, like, you know, not just the AE, but the VP sales, the founders, the investors, including, who reached out to offer to help. So it kind of welcomes you even once you are in the door. They're like trying to welcome you into their, like, product. And then by giving different value added tips at different points in time. So it's not like a single person AE's job anymore. I feel like it's the entire sales, and anybody who's selling about the value and the vision of the company is important. Yeah. So that's another tip I will offer. I mean, this landscape is changing quite a lot. So I think this is something that I would recommend, like, a lot of companies pick up and start doing that.
Yeah, and I think speed to get help people out is really important too, right? Whether it's, you know, if somebody's really interested in a sale, being a sales prospect, getting them on the phone with somebody if they want to talk right away, or having a chat-based tools become very popular on websites. Yeah. Even if it's AI-based initially, then you can get a customer support rep in there to answer any questions. You know, when people are right, they're actually looking at the software. That's the best time to, you know, convert them before. Like you mentioned, there's a lot of other options out there. People will leave the site and start shopping around to other places. But if you have their attention, that's the best time to be able to, you know, hopefully close the deal and get a meeting with them.
Yep.
So I guess that's one thing you want potential customers to know about StoryLane, and why they should pick your platform over others out there.
So I think I'll give you, like, three part reasons. One is, right, so why StoryLane? We are one of the easiest to use platform, right, in the market. Like, if you have 10 minutes today, you can go sign up and try it out, and you'll do yourself a favor by showing your product to your potential buyers on your website. That's all it takes to go live with it. And we offer, like, an easy pricing that you mentioned, Andy, as well. So allows you to grow and scale along with that. So number one is that ease of use, right? We are ranked, like, among the top five products in G2 in the last, you know, among 100,000 products because of the ease of use itself. Now, number two, I would say, is, like, we are one of the platforms that scales pretty well, so that it's not like, because you are able to build these demos easily, you can scale very well across, like, your marketing, sales, customer success, onboarding, product upsells, and all those motions. So those are another reason where we have a great horizontal play as compared to anybody else in the market. Yep. And of course, third is, like, you need to go in and, you know, use a product or a platform that you believe or trust in that is innovating. So if you look at this in the last 1 year, the incredible amount of products that we have released and features that we have released, we're constantly innovating and shipping. Yep. Keep in mind, this is a new category. So the company in the space who innovates faster and who innovates and ships faster, adapts to it, is probably what you want to be partnering with. So we do all those three things. And as a potential buyer, you should look at these things.
Yeah, that's a great point. Nacho, we actually use StoryLane as well. We've had a fun time putting together all those interactive demos, which is really helpful for our customers too. And I've been a big advocate of that for a while. So definitely, you know, speaking from the point of a real user here. So I definitely highly recommend what you guys are doing. I guess what's next over the next 5 years for you guys?
I think this category started, like, a few years back. It's evolving, and you have to, again, going back to my last point about, like, how innovative you are in adopting. So for StoryLane, we look at it more like these demos and how, you know, AI is all around, right? So we look at it like how a demo agent could be there that could help you with these demos and help the sales teams to launch any demos and assist them buyers, right? We see enablement of buyers changing a lot through demos. And what the next 5 years is going to happen is you're going to have AI agents, demo agents that are going to help both the sellers and the buyers. That's going to help in educating the buyers very early in your cycle or later in your cycle through demos. That's going to be a lot. That's how we see it evolving over the next, probably not 5 years, over the next couple of years itself, right? In the AI world, it's shrunk by, like, one third, I would say.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Everything's going to get faster and faster. So time to market's key. Getting people's questions answered sooner than later is key. Putting all the answers up there right up front and bite-sized information, I think is going to be really critical. So, you know, people are going to have a lot more options out there. Software is exploding right now. So, you know, use the interactive demos, use the proper onboarding techniques to really help convert those sales. But Nalen, really appreciate you coming on today. Highly recommend your product. As I mentioned before, we're a user of it over at Nacho Nacho. If anybody's interested in helping their onboarding efforts, definitely check out StoryLane. It's in our B2B SaaS marketplace. You can grab it today for 20% cash back. Again, highly recommend this product. We've been using it. It's very intuitive. It's very easy to set up. And, you know, your support team's actually been really great to work with as well to answer some of the talking about sales onboarding. So answering some of those key questions that we had as buyers ourselves, getting on to using your platform. So you guys definitely practice what you preach over there. And I appreciate that.
Awesome. No, thank you. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me today.
Thanks again, Nalen. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that was great.